I got to get out more. Out of the craziness of my own head, out of the screen world that can trap me in thoughts that lead me in directions I don't want to go, into the world that God made, into the real world, into real relationships, into my body, into the kingdom of God that is all around me. And we're learning about that together. How do we become better people and make technology serve us rather than the other way around and just kind of drift along in default mode? We're looking at how the deforming tendencies of online life can be countered by what the Apostle Paul called the fruit of the Spirit. J. Kim writes about this in his book, The Analog Christian. Today we're talking about peace. And I will tell you, as a general rule, what's going on online does not make for peace within persons, and it does not make for peace between persons. Jay quotes Arthur Brooks, who writes, "The rise of social media has scaled up our ability to express contempt and vitriol and to act as de-individuated lumpen mass with astonishing efficiency." And Jay knows Christians have not only been caught up in this polarization, but in many cases, we have become its chief participants. And so we remember today that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That Jesus, Paul says, has become our peace, who has made the two one, who has torn down the dividing wall of hostility, Jew, Gentile, male, female, whatever the divisions are. As I'm recording this, bombs have just been dropped in Iran, and there's deep concern about peace, and we can be praying for peace. And the invitation today, very often it's to do stuff, but today what I want to invite you to do is let go. Let go of the temptation to judge. Let go of contempt. Let go of hurry. Let go of self-righteousness. Let go of the illusion of being in control. Because we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, peace in particular, but the fruit in general, I want to talk about the image of a garden of fruit for a moment. First of all, from Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, when he's talking about how do we parent, it is so striking, the image here. Developmental psychologist Alison Gopnik wrote a book called The Gardener and the Carpenter. She notes the word parenting was essentially never used until the 1950s and only became popular in the 70s. For almost all of human history, people grew up in environments where they observed many people caring for many children. There was lots of local wisdom and no need for parenting experts. But in the 70s, family life changed. Families grew smaller, more mobile. People spent more time working, going to school. Parenthood was delayed. New parents lost access to local wisdom, began to rely more on experts. As they did so, they found it easy to approach parenthood with the mindset that had led them to success in school and work. If I can just find the right training, I can do the job well, and I will produce a superior product. Gopnik says that parents begin to think like carpenters who have a clear idea in mind of what they're trying to achieve. They look carefully at the materials they have to work with. It's their job to assemble those materials into a finished product that can be judged by everyone against clear standards. Are the right angles perfect? Does the door work? Gopnik notes, messiness and variability are a carpenter's enemies. Precision and control are her allies. Measure twice, cut once. Gopnik says a better way to think about child rearing is as a gardener. Your job is to create a certain kind of protecting, nurturing, loving, caring, challenging space for plants to flourish. It takes some work, but you don't have to be a perfectionist. Weed the garden, water it, step back, plants will do their things. She writes, our job as parents is not to make a particular kind of child. Instead, our job is to provide a space of love, safety, and stability in which children of many unpredictable kinds can flourish. Our job is not to shape our children's minds. It's to let those minds explore all the possibilities that the world allows. Our job is not to tell children how to play. It's to give them toys. We can't make children learn. We can let them learn. Now, here's the thing. That's not just the case. Gardening is kind of the image of who we want to be and what we're called to do when it comes to parents raising children. Paul uses the same picture when he talks about the cultivation of the fruit of the Spirit. A tree does not make fruit by trying really, really hard. The tree's job is to be rooted in soil where it can receive nurture, as our minds can be rooted in God and God's presence and God's world and God's love and receive light from above. And then the fruit is a byproduct. The fruit comes as a gift of grace. When I lose my, there was a time early in our marriage when I was trying a lot more than I do now to do gardening stuff. And I had planted a tree and I watered it. I transplanted it quite carefully, potting soil, fed it Miracle Grow. We were gone for a week and came back and the roots had been dug up by a little kid next door who I will call Timmy. Not his real name, but Timmy, if you're watching this, you know who you are. And as soon as the roots are severed from the soil that nurtures them, then the life is dead. And the fruit of the Spirit is that way. It's not my job to make myself more loving or more joyful, or in particular today, to try really, really hard to be peaceful. So the invitation for today is to let go. Believe that God is at work and watch Him and rest in Him and look for joy and look for God's protection and God's care. The Apostle Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious around anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, that excels it, that outraces it, will guard your hearts and your minds. Now, here's what C.S. Lewis writes about spiritual growth, not just parenting. So interesting. It is no disparagement to a garden to say that it will not fence and weed itself, nor prune its own fruit trees, nor roll and cut its lawns. Garden is a good thing, but it doesn't have that sort of goodness. It will remain a garden, as distinct from a wilderness, only if someone does all these things to it. Its real glory is of quite a different kind. The very fact that it needs constant weeding and pruning bears witness to that glory. The garden teems with life. Now, this is the gift of God to you today. You teem with life. And you didn't make that happen. You didn't make yourself wake up this morning. Neither did I. You didn't make your mind work and be full with all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of visions and all kinds of possibilities. You know, you are teeming with life, and that's just God's grace at work. It glows with color and smells like heaven and puts forward at every hour of a summer day beauties which man could never have created and could not even on his own resources have imagined. If you want to see the difference between its contribution and the gardener's, put the commonest weed it grows side by side with his hose, rake, shears, and packet of weed killer. You have put beauty, energy, and life besides dead, sterile things. Just so, our decency and common sense, that is, our attempts to grow, our attempts to discipline, our attempts to engage in intentional spiritual life, show gray and death light beside the geniality of love and joy and peace. And when the garden is in its full glory, the gardener's contributions to that glory will still have been, in a sense, paltry compared with those of nature. Without life springing from the earth, without rain and light and heat descending from the sky, the gardener could do nothing. When the gardener has done all, he or she have merely encouraged here and discouraged there powers and beauties that have a different source. But the gardener share, that's you, that's me, though small, is indispensable and laborious. When God planted the garden, he set a man over it and set the man under himself. When he planted the garden of our nature and caused the flowering, fruiting loves to grow there, he set our will to dress them. Compared with them, it is dry and cold. And unless his grace comes down like the rain and the sunshine, we shall use this tool to little purpose. But its laborious and largely negative services are indispensable. If they were needed when the garden was still paradisal, how much more now when the soil has gone sour and the worst weeds seem to thrive on it best? But heaven forbid that we should work in the spirit of prigs and stoics. While we hack and prune, we know very well that what we are hacking and pruning is big with a splendor and vitality which our rational will could never of itself had supplied. To liberate that splendor, to let it become fully what it is trying to be, to have tall trees instead of scrubby tangles and sweet apples instead of crabs, that is our purpose. So, this day, let go of your, my, self-absorption, self-preoccupation, tiny little agenda, over-concern with how am I doing, what do I look like, self-pride, judgmental spirit about, man, look at me pray, look at me seek. Just let go of all of that. Recognize there's a role for me to play. There's a place for my will to be at work, but the life that springs in me is a gift from God. It is a grace from God. The fruit of the Spirit does not originate with me. It comes from Him. Let it be peace today. We got to get out more.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future teaching from John. You might also want to visit our website, becomenew.com, to access our full library of teaching, or to sign up for the emails that go along with each video. Personally, my favorite way to receive these videos is by text. We will send you a text message every weekday morning with the title of that day's video and the link to the video. And that's it. You can just text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 to receive those texts. If you have a prayer request, there is a group of us who meet every weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. You can send us your request at the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the will is transformed by experience, not merely information. So we hope you get out more. See you next time.